You're with SBS Radio.
In this bulletin, the trial of a Northern Territory policeman accused of murdering an Aboriginal teenager is proceeding within COVID-19 health measures. Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg says the government will make COVID-19 test expenses tax deductible for businesses and individuals using them for work. And Tasmanian Liberal MP Bridget Archer says she'll vote against the federal government's religious discrimination bill. Awaited trial of a Northern Territory policeman accused of murdering an Aboriginal teenager will run for under 4 hours a day in line with COVID-19 health measures. Constable Zachary Rolfe has pleaded not guilty to the shooting murder of Kumanjai Walker in November 2019. The 19-year-old died after allegedly being shot 3 times in the remote community of Uendumu, 290 kilometres northwest of Alice Springs. The Supreme Court trial in Darwin, which has been postponed 3 times, twice due to COVID-19, is scheduled to start today when the jury is impaneled. The Aboriginal flag will fly permanently on top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge. New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet says it will happen as soon as possible, and the New South Wales government has been working through this for some time. He says he first received advice that getting the flag hoisted would take 2 years, but this will be sped up.
In the 1920s, it took 9 years to build the Harbour Bridge, but apparently today it takes 2 years to put a flagpole on top of the Harbour Bridge. I mean, I'll climb up there myself and put it up if I need to. I mean, this is, the government departments need to work faster, and I can't see why it would take that long. And the new advice that I've received is that time frame can be expedited. I think it went down to 2 years and then to 6 months. So as soon as possible.
Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg has announced the government will make COVID-19 test expenses tax deductible for businesses and individuals who use them for work purposes. The proposed changes will be backdated to apply from the beginning of 2021 to 2022 financial year and cover both PCR and rapid antigen tests. It means a worker with a marginal tax rate of 32.5% will receive a refund of about $6.50 for every 2 pack of rapid tests purchased for $20. Mr. Frydenberg says the tests are an important tool in assisting businesses to protect their workforce and ensure they can keep their doors open.
Rapid antigen tests for work-related purposes will now be completely tax deductible, and the fringe benefits tax will not apply to businesses who supply those RAT tests to their workers.
Non-urgent elective surgery will recommence in New South Wales today, and such surgeries were suspended on the 10th of January to free up spaces in hospitals for COVID-19 patients. Health Minister Brad Hazard says the private hospitals and public health sector are now working together towards getting elective surgeries back up to 75% of the pre-pandemic levels. He has thanked those who had to postpone their operations.
I know it's pretty tough, particularly if you've got a knee that's bothering you or a hip or one of the items of surgery, cataract surgery, one of the items that has had to be put off for a few weeks. I apologise on behalf of the health system, but I also know that each of us would understand that in a 100-year pandemic, we've had to take measures that allowed for the possibility of those patients coming into our system.
It comes as New South Wales records a further 14 deaths, with 137 people currently in ICU. There are 7,437 new cases today and 2,099 people in hospital. In the meantime, Victoria is set to pass a vaccination milestone today, with 50% of children aged 5 to 11 having received their first dose. Deputy Premier James Marlino says while this is an encouraging step forward, there's still a way to go in protecting Victorians from COVID-19. It comes as the state records 7 deaths and 8,275 new cases of COVID-19. Mr. Marlino is continuing to urge Victorians to come forward for their vaccinations.
Over the next 7 days, there are 107,000 appointments available. So please, if you haven't had your third dose, if your child hasn't had their first paediatric dose, please make an appointment, either at our state-run clinics or via our GPs and our community pharmacies.
There are currently 638 people in hospitals across Victoria, including 72 in the ICU. Queenslanders will no longer need to use the check-in app to enter venues across the state, though proof of COVID-19 vaccination will still be required in places that ask for it. The state has recorded 19 deaths and there are 663 people in public hospitals, including 41 in the ICU. Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk says health authorities believe Queensland is now coming off the peak of COVID cases. Still in Queensland, children are returning to class today, with the authorities stating COVID-19 outbreaks in schools are inevitable, but it's unlikely they will close. The return to school was delayed by 2 weeks in the state due to the current virus wave, with 5,746 new infections and 9 deaths reported on Sunday. Less than half of children under 11 in Queensland have had one dose of the vaccine, and rapid antigen tests are still being sent to schools. Face masks are mandatory in high schools and strongly recommended for students in years 3 to 6, while schools must ensure adequate classroom ventilation. The government had promised to provide schools with free rapid antigen tests but it's unclear whether they have arrived in time. Tasmania is preparing for children to return to school on Wednesday, February 9, as the state records 443 new COVID cases and no deaths. There are 15 people in hospital with COVID-19, including 8 being treated specifically for virus symptoms and 1 person in the ICU. Tasmanian Premier Peter Godwin says parents should be assured by the fact that classrooms are well ventilated and that outdoor learning spaces are being used.
The arrangements for schools have been under construction now for a number of months. We've had an acting minister in place, and parents can have confidence that the plan has been developed and implemented and that our schools are ready to go when their children return on Wednesday.
Peter Godwin also said that Education Minister Sarah Courtney, who contracted COVID after a holiday in France, has recovered from the virus and will return to work on Thursday, February 10. Tasmanian Liberal MP Bridget Archer says she will vote against the federal government's religious discrimination bill as debate on the issue continues. The member for Bass says she can't support the proposed legislation in its current form, citing concerns it will override state anti-discrimination laws protecting LGBTIQ plus students. It comes as the federal opposition calls on Prime Minister Scott Morrison to introduce amendments to the bill to ensure students can't be unfairly expelled on the basis of their sexuality or gender identity. The Bus Communications spokeswoman, Michelle Rowland, says while her party is still considering the recommendations from the two committees that examine the bill, protecting students would get bipartisan support.
We would want to examine this very carefully. This is a complex area and one that has been obviously deeply scrutinised by people who have particular views on this, a very wide variety of evidence presented. So, exactly as you said, we will be guided by those principles, but how that manifests itself in the amendments, we will consider those through our normal caucus processes.
Labor MPs and senators in those committees did say they were in favour of the bill being passed, subject to some minor and technical amendments being made. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba has urged people to ignore apocalyptic predictions about an imminent Russian invasion. In a tweet, he said, Ukraine has a strong army, unprecedented international support, and Ukrainians' faith in their country. He added, the enemy should be afraid of us, not us of them. A week ago, Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, said the country was not a sinking Titanic and accused the United States government and media of fueling panic. U.S. officials say that Russia could be ready for a full-scale invasion of Ukraine by mid-February, as Moscow had assembled 70% of the military force needed. They also warned that an invasion could lead to the deaths of up to 50,000 civilians and 25,000 Ukrainian soldiers. African Union leaders gathered at a summit in Ethiopia on Saturday are calling for a bigger role on the international stage as the continent grapples with increased coups, COVID-19 and climate change. The union was formed 20 years ago to foster regional cooperation but has taken little action in the face of six coups or attempted coups in the past year and a half. The bloc did not move to suspend Burkina Faso, Mali and Sudan following military takeovers, but it's unclear whether the ban had any effect on those countries' new leaders. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres addressed the leaders by video link, repeating calls for ceasefire in the Ethiopian conflict, which broke out in November 2020 and has killed thousands. Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed says it's unlikely that international assistance could make a change and Africa must look inwards.
The idea once dangled in front of us of a Marshall Plan in favour of the continent has unravelled. I'm not far from thinking that such a plan, though necessary, will never come from the outside. Here, more than ever, the African leadership is forcefully challenged to mobilise internal resources that reveal the immense potential of the continent. This is the only way, an African direction for Africa.
And to sport, Senegal has won its first ever Africa Cup of Nations title with a 4-2 penalty shootout victory against seven-time winners Egypt following a 0-0 draw. Senegal's Sadio Mane had missed an early penalty in the game but stepped up to make history for the West African nation by sealing the win with a penalty goal after the 128th minute. Egypt was also looking to break records with an 8th AFCON win but failed to lead the shootout. And now having a look at the weather around the country, Broome, partly cloudy 31, Perth, partly cloudy 24, Adelaide, partly cloudy as well 33, Melbourne, a sunny day 29, Hobart, mostly sunny 23, Albury Wodonga, sunny 27, Canberra, partly cloudy 22, Wollongong, a shower or two 22, Sydney, much the same 25, Newcastle, similar conditions 25 as well, Brisbane, partly cloudy 28, Townsville, mostly sunny 29, Cairns, a shower or two 31, Alice Springs, sunny 34, Darwin, showers and a possible storm with a top of 31, and the Torres Strait Islands, a partly cloudy day and a top of 29. And that is NITV Radio News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.